Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we come to your word, Father, to study, we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, come forward, and to bring to all of us the message you would have each one to receive this morning from this word, Father, so that we can all grow in faith, grow stronger in your word, and in the walk of righteousness, and move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us. You have this study. And I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're in the last chapter of 1 John, chapter 5. It's not a long chapter, 21 verses. But we'll see what the Lord has for us. Verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Him that begat means the Father. In this case, God. That is begotten of him means a son. We know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. John makes the general illustrated point that one who cares for the Father customarily cares also for that Father's child. Thus, the person who truly loves God will also give the Son his due that is begotten of him. Could also refer to individual believers. And in this case, John would be stressing that he who loves God in truth to also love other children of God. And you know, that's all true. Because we are to love all mankind, but most especially those that are of the family of Almighty God. Now, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, there once again, relationship to God and obedience to his commandments are inseparably linked. They go together. We don't have one without the other. Now, four. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that refers to every believer born of God. That means you and I, if we are born of God. Now, 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And you know, there is conquering power through this confession, because God is sovereign over the world, and only through the Son does man have access to and find favor with God. And that is true. You see, there is no way that you and I can even go to the Lord in prayer without going through the Lord Jesus. And God's word tells us that. His word tells you and I to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he will hear from heaven. Think about these things. 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. It's water and blood. This is the water of Jesus' baptism and the blood of his atoning death. The Spirit gives assurance that the biblical message about Jesus is true. All right. Now, verse 7. There are 3 that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are one. Notice in this verse, he's saying the Father, and then he says the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. And there are 3 that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these 3 agree in one. In other words, here on the earth, you have the spirit, you have the water, and the blood. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, and these three agree in one. You see, Greek manuscripts are unanimous in the showing that verse 7 should end with record. Literally, it says, there are three who bear witness. Likewise, verse 8 should read simply, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. The longer version of these verses made this way into the traditional printed Greek Testament, and thus into the King James Version due to influence of the Latin Bible. Only four late Greek manuscripts, the point of John's original version, was that the witness of verse 6 comprised one unified testimony to the veracity of the gospel. This insight, in turn, paves the way for verse 9. You know, there are nine, says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And to deny the biblical witness of Christ is to reject God himself. These are things we really don't think about. And a lot of them we think, well, that's just trivial stuff. But when you really get down to it, it's not trivial. And it even leads to darker and deeper things. Now, 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, we know that we gain our eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is the door. We can't go over him, under him, or around him. We have to go through him. 12. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Think about that. Short verse, there's so much there. It can lead to either life or death and hell. All because we either have the Lord Jesus Christ or we don't. 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And John sums up the message of his epistle. Many authorities end the verse at the word life, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, is stressed in the original eternal life is contingent on personal trust in Christ. That trust must be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That gives us an assurance of salvation and leads to confidence in our petitions that we make. And the effectual prayer is according to his will. You see, we're to be doing everything in life according to the will of Almighty God. Now, when we go to him in prayer, we need to be going with things that are according to his will. Because if we go with things of this world and all that is not of his will, you're not going to get it. Now, Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. You see, brother means fellow Christian. Now, I think we all know and understand that. And every Christian is liable to sin. Believers are to intercede for one another when stumbling occurs. Sin unto death John may be thinking of the sins he has urged against throughout the epistle. Refusal to accept Christ as God's incarnate Son, habitual disobedience to God's commands, and consistent failure to love others. These are marks of an unregenerated person. God is not commanding, though he is also not forbidding that prayer be offered for such people. Sin not unto death. These would be sins that do not mark deliberate and persistent rebellion against God. These are the sins every Christian finds himself subject to and must struggle against in themselves, unlike sin unto death. They do not constitute apostasy from biblical truths or failure to trust obediently in Christ. Forgiveness and reconciliation with God is therefore possibility, and persistent prayer can make it a reality. But you see, everything must be according to his word and his will. Now, 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You see, he's letting you and I know that once we become born again, we don't do sin anymore. None of these sins. Those sins that sins unto death, or those sins that are not sins unto death. We don't sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Once you become that born-again child of God, Satan has no hold on you. And he can't put anything on you. He has no power over you at all. And you have the authority to stand against him and tell him to go. So many don't really realize that. Now, 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. A final note of assurance. Believers are in God, despite the majority of humanity lying in the power of Satan. Christ has come. He has imparted spiritual insight. Thus we know him because he has made himself known and are in him because he has claimed us. This is the true God. This can be translated. He, meaning Jesus Christ. God concludes with a ringing affirmation of the full deity of the Son, a notable theme of John's Gospel. Stout, isn't it? Strong. And straight to the point. Now for the last verse. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Short verse. He ends that verse with amen, because he's also come to the end of the epistle of 1 John. And he ends here with, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Idols here may well have the sense of erroneous conception of God. John addressed such false notions throughout the letter. However fervent our love for others and our adherence to God's commands, such human efforts will come to nothing apart from truth. Understanding of God as revealed in Christ, to know him as he is causes love and obedience to be the redeeming worship response to God that he intends them to be. This first epistle of John has been the strongest epistle in the Bible, because he goes straight to the point. He walks around nothing and gives it to us just like God wants it given. You know, there's no mights and no maybes and things that way. It, with each thing he says, it is true. No mights, no maybes, no buts. No ifs. It's either yes or no. It is that strong. Now, 2 John, when we get into that, as 13 verses long, and 3 John is 14. So we're going to leave them until this evening, and we will probably finish with both epistles. Of course, we never really know, because we never know where God's going to lead us to. But anyway, that is really what I'm thinking and looking at now. Because like I say, on 2 John, there's 13 verses, and there's only 14 on the third epistle of John. That's only 27 verses. And just depending on what God really, where he takes us here. But you can be assured of one thing. It will be straight and to the point. And it will be yea and nay, because he's not going to have it any other way. That's not John's way of writing, because he is listening to the Holy Spirit, and he is another one, just as Paul was. He's willing to give his life to record what the Spirit gives him to record. And he's willing to give his life and to stand against whatever would come against him for doing so. Not many are. And today, we have very few that are willing to stand up and teach this. You'll hear very few churches preach this word as it is recorded. They walk around so much and leave so much out. And then they take a lot of it and twist and turn it till when they come out with it, it is contrary to what that word meant and what God said with it. They've made it to suit themselves and to make it sound good to others, because mainly if they don't want to lose any from the congregation, because they don't want to lose the money. That's what it's about. They want pretty speeches. Very few sermons today coming from our churches actually are sermons really. It comes from the Word of God. They tell stories of all kinds. And yes, there'll be a verse or two that'll come out of the Bible. But most usually, that verse is actually misquoted, and it's a shame. But that is what is happening in our day and time. We need to be getting ready, because it's not going to be long until the Lord's going to be coming for his church. All right. We're going to stop here and close up God's word and go to him in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel, peace to them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours that we live in, that in the past several years has been filled with evil, and things that are evil called good, and things that are good called evil. And they took Jesus out of every place he was in, Father. Now, Father, I'm praying, and I'm praying, Father, if you're holding your word and asking for those evil ones to be taken out of office and replaced with those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, and love your people in this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that foundation being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all of those that are close with this ministry. Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Sue Branson, Debbie's husband Daryl, my wife, Father, and all of those that are there in Brandenburg in the nursing home, Father. We know, Father, that they all need help. Touch them with thy mighty hand, Father, and fill whatever need they have. And myself, Father, you know the need I have and the need this ministry has. And you've told us, made us your promise, Father, that you would fulfill those needs. And we know, Father, that you keep your word and that you will do just that. Now, Father, keep us all in health through this day. Keep us safe in our getting about, and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great one. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. I pray I'll see you at 6.